I'll read a few verses with you from Psalm 32, please. Psalm 32, just a few verses from the beginning of the psalm. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. We'd end our reading there at the end of verse 5, knowing that the Lord will bless the public reading of his own precious word. Now, last Sunday, the 25th of February, would have been my spiritual birthday. That would have been on the 25th of February, 1972. That back then would have been on a Friday night. Now, I'll start at the very beginning. I was born into a wee country home. It was a good home. And my mother, she got saved when I was about 7 years of age. My father made a profession of faith, which I wasn't aware of for many years to come. He was a good father. He smoked, but I never knew of him to take a drink. And by the way, I am an only child. And with this change coming into our home, it had an influence upon me. In those early sheltered years, I was taken to gospel meetings in different places around Rathfriend and sent along to children's meetings. Indeed, I could take you to fields around Rathfriend yet where tents were erected and where I would have been at those meetings. I recall being at a meeting one night in an old schoolhouse outside Rathfriend. I could take you to it to this day. It's nearly derelict. And there was a mission there being conducted by the Faith Mission. I was only about 10 years of age at the time, and I remember something strange taking place at that meeting. When the pilgrim was closing the meeting in prayer, I remember looking through my fingers, thought that she was looking right down at me. So from an early age, I knew that I needed to be saved if I was to get to heaven. And could I say to the young people and children here tonight, you thank God for the privilege of learning of your need of salvation early in life. There are many around us in so-called Protestant Ulster, and they're in darkness and don't know. I learned that the scriptures taught I was born in sin and shapen in iniquity, and that God couldn't look upon sin and something needed to be done about it. I also learned that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to be my Savior. And also learned that not only was he to be my Savior, but that he did take my sin upon himself on the cross of Calvary, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. After attending a wee country primary school for about 8 years, I moved on to secondary school, Bonbridge Tech, at the age of 13. This was to be a turning point in my life. I learned and saw things that I hadn't heard or seen before. And that was in 1954, and I only attended that school from September until June the following year. The following year, 1955, I started to work, and sad to say, I started a lot of other things as well. By this time, I was beginning to forget my childhood days. This big bad world was opening its arms to me and beckoning me to come and enjoy what it had to offer. And sadly to say, that's what I did. And dear young person here tonight, don't forget your childhood and your upbringing and the spiritual things you have been taught and are being taught. Remember, we have only one life, and it will soon be passed, and it's only what's done for Jesus that will last. From my latter years in primary school, I developed a great love for sports, especially football and motorcycling. And during the next 15 or 16 years of my life, these were the things I looked to give me pleasure, enjoyment, and satisfaction. And yes, I suppose they did give me pleasure and enjoyment for a time, but not satisfaction. You see, satisfaction for the soul is not to be found in things. It's to be found in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. While playing football and racing motorbikes in scrambles and grass tracks, over those years, God was good to me. Friends of mine got broken arms and broken legs, but through it all, I never got any serious injuries. I never attained to any great heights in either of them, but to me, they were my God. I worshipped them. And despite my trying to get away from God, God didn't forget about me and the prayers of those who loved me. I recall events in the 1960s and into 1970 which reminded me that there was a God in heaven with whom I had to do someday. Harry Geddes was an evangelist way back in those days, and he conducted gospel missions around Rathfriend. I recall one at a wee place called Kitsbridge, outside Rathfriend. Why I was there, I can't recall. But I remember one Saturday night, there was an awful storm and heavy rain, and the tent was blown down and lying in the field on the Sunday morning. Information was given around, and one of the elders of the Presbyterian Church gave permission that the meeting could be held in Kitsbridge Presbyterian Church that afternoon. And the people gathered, and we were in the meeting. And the meeting wasn't long started until a gentleman came through the door in a black coat with a clerical collar, and he walked down the aisle up into the pulpit and said to Mr. Geddes, "Get out and take your people with you." We had to rise and come out and finish the service on the road. That was to have an impact upon me. Another event that was to have an impact upon me. The time I was going out with Gladys, her uncle and family used to come every Friday night. He was a believer, and he asked her and me to go to a gospel meeting in the Brethren. They were having a campaign, and we went along to hear him give his testimony and what the grace of God had done in his life. Again, God was reminding us that he loved us and that he gave his Son to save us from our sins. Another event in 1970 was the opening of Munnaslane Free Presbyterian Church, and I took my mother to it, and she had asked me before to go with her, and I said, "You wouldn't be expect me to go to hear him, would you?" That was Dr. Paisley. So you see, I didn't have any interest in the things of God. I just wanted to enjoy myself and try and find satisfaction for my own self in the things of the world. A gospel mission came to the townland of Ardara in February 1972. The evangelist was the Reverend Fred Buick. He'd been known to some of you, I'm sure. And the meetings were held in the XB Specials hut. A friend of mine who was a believer, he's in heaven tonight, he asked me to make some alterations to the poster for the mission. When I left school, I started work in the Outlook printing works, and he knew I would be able to do that for him. At the same time, he gave me an invitation to the mission. I politely refused him and told him how busy I was. He knew of the things that I was involved in, and he knew that my time at nights wouldn't be very, very available. A couple of weeks later, he invited me again, and this time I said I would go, the reason being that I hoped he wouldn't ask me again to the mission. And dear unsaved, I wonder why you're here tonight. Is it because someone has given you an invitation to come? Perhaps it's what you do on a Sunday night, come to the house of God. Or maybe it's just out of curiosity. Whatever the reason, God has you here for a purpose. You know you need to be saved. It's your intention to be saved someday. But the question is, when? The Bible makes it clear that now is the time. In 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2, we read there, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." I went along to that gospel mission on Wednesday night, the 23rd of February, to please my friend, as I thought, but that was to be the start of something which would change my life completely. I got ready on the following Friday night. I came home from my work, got my supper, and I said to Gladys, my wife, "I think I'll go to that mission tonight." I got ready and headed off. At that time, I was smoking cigarettes for many years. I had just one in a packet, and I was going to smoke that going out the road to the mission, and I would need another packet then for coming back home again. So I stopped in a wee shop in Rathfriend and got a new packet of cigarettes and headed off to the mission. That was the night God's Spirit spoke to my heart in a very definite way about eternal things, reminding me of those things I heard in the meetings in my childhood days over 20 years ago, that I needed to be saved if I was ever to be in heaven. And during the meeting that night, I began to weigh things up. If I got saved, what would all my friends think? But then on the other hand, if I didn't get saved, where would my soul be in God's eternity? And by the close of the meeting, I was in tears. I didn't recall much about what the preacher said that night, other than being reminded that every time someone goes through the door from a gospel meeting, rejecting the Saviour, they're trampling underfoot the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I waited behind that night, and Mr. Buick showed me how I could be saved. And there in a wee back room in the bee hut, I got down on my knees, repented of my sin, and asked the Lord Jesus to save me. Part of the verse he left with me that night, which was a comfort to me, and still is, was John 6 and 37. "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Now I had become a new creature in Christ. Old things were going to have to go. He asked me that night before I left, was there anything in particular I would like him to pray with me about? And immediately I said the cigarettes. You see, I had tried to give them up on different occasions, but was unable. You asked me about the packet I had in my pocket that I bought coming to the meeting. Well, they never were opened. They were destroyed. I never smoked a cigarette. God showed me that night that he could hear and answer prayer. Now I had come home and break the news to Gladys. I didn't know how she would react. But, you know, God is good. When I told her, she threw her arms around me and said, I'm glad. That was the past. Now briefly, the present, from that time onwards. The following Tuesday night, Gladys came along with me to the mission. God convicted her of her sin that night, and she trusted Christ to save her. We belonged to the Presbyterian Church, but wouldn't have been very regular attenders. Mr. Buick encouraged me that night that he counseled me to pray and ask God to guide us to find a prayer meeting to attend and somewhere where we would hear the word of God faithfully preached. And as far as I was concerned, that would be at the church we were attending. On the following Thursday night, Mr. Buick was speaking about the World Council of Churches, and I heard things I never knew. On the Friday night following was the annual congregational meeting in the church, and I recall us being there and being congratulated on getting saved by my grandfather, who was an elder in that church. The children were taking part, and I remember thinking that our daughter Jill, who was just coming 2 years of age, would be able to take part next year in the congregational meeting. We knew very little about Free Presbyterian Church, other than we had an aunt who attended Monyslane. We earnestly asked God to guide us concerning the future, and he did that in a remarkable way. Two weeks later, another aunt who belonged to the Presbyterian Church landed at our door one Sunday morning, looking a lift to church. We had slept in that morning, and I shouted through the window what had happened and that we couldn't be in time now. She left. We got up, and when we got up and got ready, we said we would go to Monyslane, and we have been there ever since. God is good. I started to pray for my father, that God would save him. I approached him on one occasion, and he told me he was saved. I said, Daddy, only you told me, I never would have known. I prayed that God would restore him again, no matter what it would take. You know, I was later to learn that was a very serious prayer. I got a phone call one evening to go out to my father's that he had taken a turn. I was there before the doctor arrived, and he was sitting on the couch as white as a ghost. And he said to me that he had a severe chest pain. I said, Daddy, what about your spiritual state? He said, Billy, it's okay. He told me a couple of days later in hospital how he had been down the garden digging. He had taken this pain in his chest, made his way up to a wee shed at the top of the garden, went in, closed the door behind him, go down on his knees, and asked God if he would spare his life, that he would give it to him. He came back to the Lord. He bore a good testimony until his death. And after recovery, he never worked again, but God gave to him 14 years. And after a few years, he and my mother joined and attended Monyslane Free Presbyterian Church until their deaths. You say to me, what about the football and the motorcycles that you were involved with? Well, I had received an ankle injury at the football and hadn't played for a couple of years prior to my conversion. But I had taken up the referee's course and passed it so as I could keep involved in the football. 2 months or so after I was saved, I wanted to see a cup match between an old team I used to play for and Bonbridge Boys Club. I had different thoughts about going, but I still went, and I took my father with me, who had no interest in football whatsoever. We took up a position on the sideline where there was nobody else. Now, in those days, goalposts would have been erected in a level field, and the pitch would have been marked out with lime. The match started and was very competitive. The referee gave a very controversial decision right in front of us where we were standing, and I knew immediately that he had made the wrong call. And within seconds, everybody at that match were gathered around us. I and my father were in the middle of them. Now, I don't have to tell anyone here tonight who remembers those days what the language would have been like. That night was the last time I attended a football match, and I never refereed one after it either. I never rode the grass track back again, and I eventually sold it. Now, I know there are those who continue to take part in sporting events after their conversion to Christ, and that's between them and God. I tell you these things to show you how God led me away from them after he had saved me. We have been involved in the work of Monies Lane now for many years. I was elected an elder in 1977. We have seen many changes in those years. Our daughter Jill married Andrew Foster, and they are in Canada serving the Lord. I could go and tell you of many other things that God has done for us in those years. Time would not permit me to do that. But I just trust that God will bless this word of testimony to the hearts of all who have heard, especially those tonight who are not saved, and that God would save your precious soul. I want to sing another wee piece now in closing.